Good evening. I'm Rick Cottom. Welcome to Your Maryland. In July 1864, for the third time, a Confederate army invaded Maryland. Its commander, the crusty Jubal Early, wanted to draw Federal soldiers away from Richmond, and if everything worked out, free thousands of rebel prisoners who were being held at Point Lookout in southern Maryland. But among Early's men was one Marylander who was looking for something more personal. Major Harry Gilmore of the 2nd Maryland Cavalry wanted redemption. Harry was a member of the wealthy Gilmore clan. He was also tall, dashingly handsome, and a ladies' man. He'd grown up north of Towson in a 25-bedroom mansion with sunken gardens and a grand ballroom, all designed after Sir Walter Scott's castle. When war broke out, his southern leanings got him thrown into jail at Fort McHenry for 2 weeks, and upon his release, he'd gone south to enlist in the Confederate Army. With no state to look after them, Maryland Confederates had to fend for themselves. Gilmore's battalion, or band as it was called, got much of what they needed from raiding Yankee supply trains. In February 1864, though, a raid on a B&O train went wrong. Passengers complained they'd been robbed and abused. The story made the New York Times, and Gilmore found himself in front of a court-martial. Though he was acquitted, all of Maryland, except his family and closest friends, regarded him as nothing more than a highway bandit. Now, 3 months later, Jubal Early's men marched into Frederick and Hagerstown, smashed a Union army at Monocacy, and headed for Washington. The rebel cavalry, under a Frederick lawyer named Bradley T. Johnson, swept through New Windsor, Westminster, and Reisterstown, cutting telegraph wires, burning bridges, and isolating the city of Baltimore. At Cockeysville, Johnson told Harry Gilmore to finish the job by taking the 135 men of the 2nd Maryland as far east as Magnolia Station and burning the railroad bridge there. Before he left, Harry rode up to his old home, the castle named Glen Ellen, and spent a few hours with family and friends. Sadly, they told him he'd never come back. But in the course of the next 2 days, Harry Gilmore proved them wrong. On the way to Magnolia, he lost one man, a sergeant who tried to pull down a Union flag, only to be shot by an angry farmer for his trouble. Once there, Gilmore captured a northbound train as it crossed the Gunpowder River and found among its passengers a Union general. Then a second train came up from Baltimore. He set that one on fire and ran it back out onto the bridge, which began to burn and soon collapsed, plunging locomotive, cars, and some frustrated Yankees into the river. The Baltimore papers screamed that the train robber Harry Gilmore and 1,000 men were terrorizing Baltimore County, but the Confederates treated their prisoners with rough courtesy. His mission accomplished, Gilmore led his exhausted troopers back toward Towsontown to rejoin Johnson and the main column, unaware that it was no longer there. Jubal Early had given up on Washington and gone back to Virginia. Johnson had gone after him. Gilmore and his small band were now alone, surrounded by hostile farmers and prowling Union cavalry. Perhaps his friends had been right after all, and his time had run out. But Harry Gilmore was a very lucky man. In February, a Yankee bullet had gone through 2 overcoats and all but 1 card and a deck of cards in his breast pocket. That last card was the ace of spades. When Federal cavalry came up toward Towsontown after him, Gilmore trusted that luck and charged down York Road, turning them back in a bloodless rout. Then he picked his way west and south until he could safely cross the Potomac. Gilmore's raid, as it came to be called, was a small but spectacular success. He'd lost only 7 men, 6 of them to capture, and if he hadn't redeemed himself completely in the eyes of Maryland, he'd gone a long way toward it. Eventually, they forgave him and welcomed him back. 10 years after his famous raid, the daring cavalryman, or train robber, depending on your point of view, was appointed Baltimore's commissioner of police.